Tuesday, October 22nd. What are you supposed to do on the second night your brother is in jail on a murder charge? Should you watch the Colbert Report? Should you clean the black crud from behind your kitchen faucet? Should you make yourself a smoothie with protein powder? I did all of these things, trying to forget the prosecutor's words. Her body was found in a wooded area, about 10 yards from the side of Highway 114. According to autopsy reports, she died of strangulation and also had a deep wound in her upper left thigh, consistent with assault using a screwdriver or scissors. But what was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to settle into the situation and practice saying things like, "Jeff? You didn't hear? He's in the clink. Homicide." Or in reminiscent fashion, with a long, throaty cough and the resigned wave of a cigarette, "Back when Jeff was still on the outside." Probably I wouldn't need to practice. Probably one grows used to saying these things as the first nights turn into first weeks, then months and years. I'm a battle, after all, and battles get used to all sorts of shitty things, like noisy mufflers and bad lighting and generic plastic wrap that sticks to nothing but itself and your angry, frustrated fingers. Police investigators obtained a search warrant for Mr. Battle's apartment and vehicle. In the trunk of the vehicle, in the spare tire compartment, they found a screwdriver with blood on it. Finally, I settled on the dog bowls and cat dishes. Yes, that was what needed to be done next. They all had a fine layer of Iams crust on them, from days of hasty feedings, bribing the poor dears with wet food as I dashed home briefly between trips to Jeff's place, the prison, my job, the courthouse. Now I collected the dog's metal bowls and the cat's delicate ceramic dishes, dumped them in a plastic tub in the sink with some palm olive, and ran the water till it was scalding. I winced as I plunged my hands into the soapy water. Police also found that Mr. Battle's trunk had been saturated with vinegar and an ammonia-based cleaning liquid. Tears sprang to my eyes. My brain struggled to find words to drown out the prosecutors and came up with this. "And, daughter, don't be at all afraid, for it is a singular and a special gift that God has given you, a well of tears which man shall never take from you." I recited the original words softly to myself. "And, daughter, dread the knout, for it is a singular and a special gift that God hath given thee, a well of tears the which shall never man take for thee." I'd memorized this sentence at a different time in my life, when feeling smart had been a misguided priority. It was comforting now, not for its content so much as the sound of the Middle English. I'd always liked its long-ago, far-away feel in my mouth. After the dishes were done, I opened my dryer and folded a single towel and a single pair of underwear, gray boy shorts with slutty black lace unraveling at the backside. Had I been married when I bought these? I couldn't remember. The rest of the laundry could sit in the dryer for another day, but these I'd need now, as I'd noticed my underwear drawer empty this morning. I carried them to my room and collapsed on my bed, where I used my cat Geraldine as a pillow. As I began to repeat those words under my breath, she slipped away politely, hopped off the bed, and retired behind the dust ruffle. Geraldine is not interested in being a therapist. She's always made that very clear. Besides, she was right. This was no time for comfort. I needed to do something. Something for Jeff, but what could I do at this hour? The black lace of the boy shorts, still in my hand, gave me an idea. There was something I could try. Something a little bit shadier than my usual comfort zone of indifferent to mildly degenerate. I used the underwear to wipe away a tear and snuffled back the rest that wanted to follow it. Yes, I would try it. I was willing to try almost anything for my brother.